The White House is struggling to contain the political fallout and confusion over President Donald Trump's performance in Helsinki this week with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. But for many in the global community, the Helsinki summit signals the end of the post-World War II international order and perhaps the manifestation of a new Trumpian global reality. Coming just days, of course, after Trump waged rhetorical war against US allies in Europe, criticising Germany's Angela Merkel, Britain's Theresa May, and even NATO. And of course, there are huge implications for all of this here in Australia. Even in these strange times, by any measure, this past fortnight has been genuinely extraordinary.
Dear America, appreciate your allies. After all, you don't have that many.
Germany is totally controlled by Russia because they will be getting from 60 to 70% of their energy from Russia and a new pipeline. Hey, hey, hey.
That's what I say. In the 2 years since the referendum, we have had a spirited national debate. Mr. Speaker, this is the right Brexit.
UK's number one priority is the arrangements that they will have formally exiting the EU. So we've got to let that work through before we're able to comprehensively delve into our negotiations.
The Russian state has never interfered and is not going to interfere into internal American affairs, including the election process.
Let's be very clear, just so everybody knows, Russia did meddle with our elections. Not only did Russia meddle in our elections, they're doing it around the world.
Just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't, and the sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative.
Pretty hard to believe all of that from just the last 10 days or so. Well, joining me now to discuss all of this is Ambassador Jack Matlock. He was the last US ambassador to the Soviet Union under President Ronald Reagan and has written extensively about the end of the Cold War. He joins me from Monterey, California. Welcome, Ambassador.
Glad to be with you.
In Melbourne, we're joined by Melissa Connolly-Tyler. She's the Executive Director of the Australian Institute of International Affairs. Melissa, good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
And joining us from London is Ian Bond. He's a former British diplomat in Moscow, a former British ambassador to Latvia, and is now the head of foreign policy at the Centre for European Reform. Welcome to breakfast, Mr. Bond.
Thank you very much.
Let me start with you, Ambassador Matlock. You've been following US-Russia relations for almost 60 years. You've written several books on this subject. What do you make of that press conference between President Trump and President Putin this week in Helsinki? Was that, as some have interpreted it, a singly important moment in the post-World War II era?
I think the important thing about that conference was that it was, I believe, an attempt to reestablish some sort of relationship with the President of Russia, which is absolutely vital to us now. The United States and Russia are, by all odds, the two largest nuclear powers. That is the most important issue for us and mankind. And to have broken off all of our essential contacts, our cooperation, which has happened over the years, I think has been a tragedy. And I think that many of the issues that have arisen have been the result of wrong policies on both sides. I would criticize both for that, but the fact that President Trump has said that, well, we're both responsible for these bad relations, I think that's absolutely true. And the criticism of him saying it, I simply do not agree with. So I'm hoping that this will mean that we will be able to work, first of all, on the nuclear issues, and there are a whole variety of them, and then expand it to other issues. Because basically, our interests, our allies' interests, and Russia's interests are compatible. Our big enemy or terrorism, the very same terrorists. Then we have the whole problem of how to control nuclear weapons and the nuclear materials. So I think it is it is past time that we should be starting to reestablish these relationships. Having said that, I'm not a partisan of President Trump's manner. I cannot be proud of his boorish habits. But the most important thing here is we do need, we Americans, Australians, Europeans, we need to have reasonable relations with Russia to control their threats against all of us.
Are you not suspicious, though, Ambassador Matlock, of Trump's apparent reluctance to be critical of Russia, particularly on such issues as the interference in the last U.S. presidential election?
I don't think they interfered in our last election. I think it is ridiculous to think that anything that Russians did, oh, they did a lot of stupid stuff.
But so you dispute the Mueller investigation, you dispute the indictments of the 12 Russians?
They made one study of the effect of any of this. And I don't believe it had an effect on the outcome. Americans, unfortunately, elected Donald Trump. Americans are going to have to deal with that. And to blame the Russians, I think, is just plain stupid.
Ian Bond, as somebody that has served at the levels that you've served at, were you surprised not to see the U.S. ambassador at least expressing concerns, doubts about the role Russia is playing in so many spheres globally right now?
Yes, I am quite surprised, actually.
I'm not sure what these are.
I just put that question to Ian Bond. If I could just seek a response from you, please.
Yeah. I mean, I have great respect for the work that Ambassador Matlock did at the end of the Cold War, but it seems to me that the situation that we're in now is actually rather different. And my worry is not the fact that the US and Russia possess large nuclear arsenals. That's something that has been true for a very long time. It's the fact that Trump, by the comments that he makes, by the way that he behaves towards his allies, is creating uncertainty both in Europe and with Russia about whether the US could be relied upon to defend its allies in a crisis. The comments that Trump has made, both in the run-up to the NATO summit and subsequently, call that into question. And by creating that doubt, that may encourage the Russians to think that some of the states that used to be in their sphere of influence can be dragged back by force or subterfuge.
Melissa Connolly-Tyler, we are starting to hear Australian political figures as well express some doubts. An unusually pointed speech from Julie Bishop this week. We've heard comments from Penny Wong as well. Ultimately, starting to question the strength of Australia's alliance with the United States. And that, I suppose, sits in the context of many European allies being much more direct about it. Do you think it is right for Australia and other US allies now to question the value and strength of US global leadership?
Well, I certainly think there is a lot of discussion among allies. So we at the Australian of International Affairs have just had a two-day conference looking at the rules-based international order, you know, that stability that we've had that has, you know, been very conducive to Australia's development. And we're talking about, you know, what are the threats and challenges? And I'd say that more of the discussion looked at the Trump administration as a threat to the rules-based international order than Russia or China, which is not the situation you might have expected. So whether it's looking at trade, the trade war that the US is setting off, the undermining of the World Trade Organization, or as Ian said, you know, the issues around whether allies feel they can rely on the US anymore, we can see that the order that we relied on, that the US was very much a guarantor of, might not be as stable as we thought.
Ambassador Matlock, how do you respond hearing that from allies in places like Australia and the United Kingdom?
I would first say that I certainly do not endorse, in fact, I am appalled by the boorish behavior President Trump has exhibited toward our allies. On the other hand, I don't believe that we are going to be faced with a Russian attempt by military means to attack any NATO thing. I'm sure that any American president, including our current one, would carry out the obligations we have toward our allies. Having said that, I opposed from the very beginning the expansion of NATO. I predicted at the time that if we started expanding, and unless we stop at some point, it was clear that we would absolutely have to stop when it came to places like Ukraine and Georgia, that we would come into a collision course with Russia. And yet this has continued with the psychology that this is still the Cold War. It is not. The Russian Federation is not the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, not in the form of government and so on. Obviously, some of the same people are there. It's only, it has less than half the population. It is a far less current thing. And why we needed to continue to divide Europe when in 1992 it was united is beyond me. I don't know why. And the problem is that Russia has been reacting, and this is bad. I certainly don't justify it. It has not been even in Russia's interest. But the many of the accusations that we have made, as an American, I must say, the United States set the precedent for many of these. We broke international law when we bombed Serbia without UN approval. We broke former agreements when we recognized Kosovo as an independent state without the agreement of Serbia. This was a direct precedent for what Putin did in Crimea. And he did it in Crimea without a single casualty. We killed probably more than 1,000 people in that illegal war. And then there was the invasion of Iraq. So for the United States, this doesn't mean that two wrongs are right, but for the United States to pretend to be the lawgiver, the law enforcer, when it itself has not followed these rules, I think should be unacceptable. So some of these perceived threats, I think, are actually reactions to the way Russians have understood what we have done.
Well,
we need to get back to normal relationships.
Okay, while we've been on air this morning, there's been this quite extraordinary interview with the Director of National Intelligence in the United States, Dan Coats. He was at the Aspen Security Forum. And the breaking news is that there's likely to be a visit by Vladimir Putin to the White House. Let's just take a listen to the audio.
The president was alone with Vladimir Putin for 2 hours. Basically, how do you know what happened?
I don't know what happened in that meeting. I think as time goes by, and the president has already mentioned some things that happened in that meeting, I think we will learn more. But that is the president's prerogative. If he had asked me how that ought to be conducted, I would have suggested a different way. But that's not my role. That's not my job. So it is what it is.
I mean, it was a fairly jaw-dropping moment, Ian Bond. How can the United States provide effective global leadership when within America leadership is being so clearly questioned?
Well, that's a very difficult question. We're in a situation where we are relying on a decreasing number of people who have been described as the adults in the room, of whom I guess Dan Coats is one, and the Defense Secretary, James Mattis, is another, and probably the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And the rest of the world is relying on them to pursue a consistent and understandable policy on some of the key issues of the day, knowing that whatever they say can be overturned at a moment's notice by a tweet from Donald Trump. And that's a profoundly uncomfortable position for us to be in. So, you know, this is a very unusual situation. And I think to some extent we need to see more signals from the American system of government, including from the Congress, that they have got their hands on the wheel and are going to make sure that Trump does not wrench it in one direction or another in the way that he is prone to do.
Melissa, is that how Australian leaders might be seeing this particular moment, wanting to know that it's actually not just Trump there deciding everything, that actually there are some grown-ups, as was just described, in the room?
Well, look, I think the Australian government has spent a lot of time trying to find different ways to communicate and with the Trump administration. It works quite differently than some in the past. But look, I suppose I might say in response particularly to Jack's comments that this, you know, really it's not just Trump. There are longer trends. I think we sometimes focus particularly on Trump because he has a particular style, you know, and it is a particular style. But I think you might be surprised that future historians would see more continuity between the Obama administration and the Trump administration than we probably see now, that a lot of the trends in how the US sees its role in the world are a lot longer than Trump. So if
specifically,
you think,
what do you mean by that, though? Are you talking about this Obama doctrine of wanting to withdraw somewhat from that period of, I guess, hyper-engagement under the Bush administration and the Reagan administrations?
Yeah, so if you look, for example, at the way, you know, Obama went to the NATO Warsaw Summit 2 years ago, in substance, you know, he talked about how allies need to contribute more to their defence. He did have that sense of the US role in the world not being a blank check. I think, honestly, another US president than Trump would have been relatively similar at the NATO summit recently. I don't think he would have called the EU foes, and I think there might have been a different approach to Helsinki, but I think the substance of what's being said at NATO is ongoing. And so that idea that we often have that Trump's a blip and that the US will go back to normal, I think that's a little bit of wishful thinking.
Ian Bond, much is made of Trump's style and its impact, but didn't we in the last fortnight see that style really move into things that are substantial? The way the Putin summit unfolded, the way the NATO summit unfolded, the way he took against Theresa May in domestic British political affairs. I mean, these things are all meaningful. They have impact. It's not just about somebody displaying bellicose rhetoric.
I think that's right. And although I accept that there is actually more continuity in some ways with Obama than perhaps appears on the surface, I think that one of the big differences is that Obama wanted to retreat to some extent, or to have America take a lower profile and be replaced by other international organizations and institutions, to see the EU and the US's European partners step up and do more, to be able to hand off more to UN agencies and so on. What's different about Trump is that he seems to be instinctively against multilateral solutions, to want to operate on a bilateral level, and to break up many of those multilateral institutions on which, in many ways, US power in the last 70 years has relied.
And that's why he's willing to make such strong comments on Brexit, for example, in Britain, even though it has enormous domestic political implications.
Yeah, I mean, he seems actually quite enthusiastic, not just about Brexit, but about trying to encourage the breakup of the EU as a whole. And, you know, that seems to me to be quite a long-term problem, not just for European prosperity and security, but actually also for the US. The continent of Europe has been a much calmer place because of the international institutions that the US helped to craft and support after World War II. And Trump, I think, does not understand the value of those institutions or the role that they play in keeping the place calm and not a problem for the US.
Ambassador Matlock, that is true, isn't it? I mean, you have described NATO yourself as obsolete, but the reality is things like NATO, things like the European Union have contributed to greater peace on the continent?
Well, I think so, and I certainly don't agree with many of President Trump's comments. As I have said in writing, I didn't vote for him, and I can't imagine I ever would. And I think that his tariffs are doing great damage to us and everything else. And I certainly don't approve of bringing any pressure to bear on the European Union. I think it is very true that that's in our interest and everyone else's, that they are able to settle their problems. I think as far as, however, I don't, as I say, I don't believe that except for the trade war that has started, and unless that's stopped pretty quickly, it's going to do everybody tremendous damage. Many of these other things as yet have not brought anything concrete that really harms the situation. My point is that it is important to reestablish a decent working relationship with Russia.
Sure. But I suppose the question for your allies, like Australia, like the United Kingdom, is whether or not this whole US-led international order is now unraveling. Ambassador Matlock, is it?
Yes. In fact, I don't know why one would call it a great, a liberal international order. We have more wars now than we had, and more than we had at the height of the Cold War. I was able to make a television address when I was in charge of our embassy in Moscow in 1981, when I pointed out there was not a single American soldier in combat anywhere in the world. At that time, there were Soviet soldiers in Afghanistan. Until 2014, a Russian ambassador could have made that statement. And, you know, this is what's behind so much of the malaise in American politics. We seem to be fighting in the middle of everybody else's wars, not winning any of them. True, Obama didn't expand them, but he didn't get us out.
Okay.
He said, you know, we would be getting out of...
On that note, I'm going to have to wrap this conversation up because we are heading to the news at 8 o'clock. Jack Matlock, Ian Bond and Melissa Conley-Tyler, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.